Front page of the Tribune today, Fox. That would be Kim Fox. It's not lost on me. This does look fishy. It's a story by Megan Crapaud. Hey, Megan, you're back on WGN. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me.
What looks fishy to the state's attorney?
Well, that was her response when I asked repeatedly about why the office waited for 6 days to clarify a statement they made in court about the circumstances of Adam Toledo's death.
And what they said about Adam Toledo's death originally was what?
Well, they said, and I can quote almost directly here, but they said he had a gun in his hand while he was turning toward the police officer. The police officer fired a shot, and the gun was found a few feet away from Toledo. Now, all of those things are factual, I believe. It can be backed up by the video, all of those sentences in isolation. But taken all together, they left a lot of people, including most of the media, with the impression that 13-year-old Adam Toledo had the gun in his hand at the precise moment mm-hmm. he was shot.
Yeah.
And if you look at the videos taken all together, that doesn't appear to be quite clear or true.
It doesn't help that the police report originally said it was a quote-unquote armed confrontation, now that I think about it. So we had, before we maybe saw the video, or were wondering after we saw it, was this an armed confrontation, the police and a gangbanger battling it out? At first, I thought that's what it might have been. Then you watch the video, and it looks like something quite different, doesn't it?
I guess it depends on which video you're looking at. Taken as with all this footage in aggregate, basically as a whole, you get the sense of an actual timeline, right? You see him, Adam Toledo, running. You can see on one third-party camera footage, not the body cam footage, you see him pretty clearly toss away what is presumed to be the gun, right? And at the same time he is turning and at the same time he is shot, this all happens in just a microsecond. So basically, less than an hour before we all saw that footage when it was released publicly, less than an hour before that, Kim Fox's office comes out and says, well, we shouldn't have left anyone with the impression that he had the gun in his hand at the exact moment he was shot, which I had never seen them make that kind of statement before, backing away from their own prosecutor.
Had she not seen the video, or had the prosecutor, this assistant state's attorney, Joseph or James Murphy, had they not...
James Murphy, that's right, yeah.
Had they not seen the video?
Well, I talked to Kim Fox yesterday. She told me that she did not see any of the footage until 2 days after that statement was made in court. She also did not see any, she did not read that statement before it was read in court. She didn't have any eyes on it beforehand. What I'm told from a reliable source is that nobody above this prosecutor had any eyes on this statement before it was read in court. Now, the tricky thing is the prosecutor did say that he had seen the footage. What's less clear now is which videos he had seen. That's something that the state's attorney's office says they're investigating now.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how important this is. I think maybe it's most important to Kim Fox. That is, this just continues to derail confidence people have in the competence of her office. But we all have seen or have the opportunity to see the video of what happened. And I guess everybody can draw their own conclusions. Mine has been that I think the officer had a reason to believe the gun was still in that boy's hand, because when you watch the body cam video, it all happened so quickly. Of course, it was a tragic mistake, and that should not have happened. But when her office says one thing, first of all, when she hasn't had her eyeballs on the video right away, and then when her office says one thing that leads you to believe something other than what the video demonstrates. And then here's an interesting paragraph from your story, Megan. The prosecutor who made the April 10th statement, known as a proffer, was Assistant State's Attorney James Murphy, who was placed on administrative leave the day after the video was released. Remember, he's the one that made the statement you were referencing. Murphy is widely liked among rank-and-file prosecutors and much of the defense bar. And the measure was generally viewed as throwing him under the proverbial bus.
That's right. Morale among rank and file prosecutors right now, from all I can tell, is incredibly low. They believe that the office should have done better by this prosecutor. I mean, I'm not sure if you were seeing this on Thursday, the day the video was released, but it was nationwide news that the state's attorney's office was backing away from their initial description of this. And you had national figures, you know, going on social media calling for his resignation, saying that everyone, you know, saying that the prosecutors are all liars. And the rank and file basically does not really like the way that the state's attorney's office has so publicly, at least initially, put this on Murphy, because initially they were saying that he did not fully inform himself. Now, they seem to have backed away from that a little bit in some of their subsequent statements. But, he really, almost to a person, when I talk to prosecutors, when I talk to defense attorneys, they all have massive respect for this guy.
I just don't know how, I mean, so, you know, most important is what they do, but almost important is what they say. So did Kim Fox also have a hand in this? Didn't she have her nose and eyes and ears in on this case? Look at the video. What are we going to say? How are we going to say it? Good Lord, this is important. And if the answer is no, I'm kind of shocked by that, particularly since she was, as you remind us, elected in part because of the Laquan McDonald video. So she should be intimately involved in every detail of this case, right?
You know what? I mean, she basically said on the one hand yesterday that, yes, the buck stops with me. My name is on the door.
Yep.
You know, this is all my responsibility. But it does seem, you know, from the fact that she didn't read that bond proffer before it was read in court, which is, you know, that happens in a lot of cases where the bond proffers, again, the first public characterization of a major high profile case, often those are kicked up to the first assistant and to the state's attorney herself.
Oh my
gosh. That did not happen in this case.
That's why you elect a state's attorney. They're the public face. They're the recall. If you don't like how it's doing, then you get rid of the state's attorney. You can't fire everybody. I mean, just as a political move, as a professional move, she should do it. But I'll stop. I mean, I know this is all obvious. I just can't believe that she didn't have more of a hand in this.
Oh, well, you know, it seems to me that that proffer was written, forgive the casualness here, but with a lawyer brain, right? This is, what do we need to put out there in order to support this child endangerment charge, right?
Yeah.
And nobody seems to have thought ahead, you know, to think about how it might play in public, right?
I've seen good journalists sometimes try and write an apt description of exactly what happened without showing sufficient empathy. And then people say, yeah, but just back away for a second and let's consider what we're saying and how we're saying it. And maybe lawyers make that mistake too. Megan Crapo's story is on the front page of the Tribune. Fox, it's not lost on me. This does look fishy. Okay, Megan, I'm out of time. Let's continue to follow this story. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Megan Crapo.